Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today in just a moment. First, just a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, a big thank you to Rich McFadden, as well as our summer interns here at Radio America for doing everything on the Radio America side for the past several days for the Three Martini Lunch. And also, Jim, I wanted to share with you a couple of things from my vacation. I spent the last several days in Michigan, and Michigan's primary is in early August. Most of the yard signs up right now are for sheriff and state rep and that sort of thing. Curiously, I didn't see one yard sign for U.S. House, considering it's a swing district and it's an open seat. But that's another story for another time. But we saw an interesting yard sign. We saw all the ones for the usual candidates, and then we saw another one. It looked very nice from a distance in red, white, and blue. And as we got closer, Jim, I think this might sum up your approach to the 2016 election, as well as many, many people to the 2016 election. It says, "Everybody sucks, 2016. The U.S. is doomed." So as we head towards convention season and you hear a bunch of claptrap, keep in mind that that's probably the most accurate political announcement you'll hear this year.
That's the one yard sign you kind of know won't get vandalized. It might get stolen. But you see it in your neighbor's yard the next day. They're not taking it to oppose. It's like, ooh, I'm jealous. I want one of those.
Exactly. And then as we were going through TSA on Wednesday, and the first person goes over your boarding document and making sure you're on the right flight and so forth, I look up at the name tag on the TSA agent. It's Lewandowski. And I think to myself, wow, it's been a rough few weeks for Corey. But then I noticed that the guy was nice and nobody in my family got manhandled, so I came to the conclusion it wasn't actually Corey.
Greg, you do not want to try to sneak past that guy. He will grab you. He will knock you nearly to the ground.
Anyways, a great vacation. Good to be back. Let's get on to the good martini now. And I know that you and Rich talked about this in recent days, and that was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg basically going off on a tirade about Donald Trump and how he should never be president of the United States. And while every American has the right to their opinion, when you're a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court or a judge in general who could certainly be one day sitting before a case that involves that person, well, it's probably best to keep your mouth shut. And now even Ruth Bader Ginsburg admits that. She said she regrets criticizing Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, calling her remarks over the past week ill-advised. The actual quote is, "On reflection, my recent remarks in response to press inquiries were ill-advised, and I regret making them," she said in a statement issued by the court. "Judges should avoid commenting on a candidate for public office. In the future, I will be more circumspect." So at 83 years old, Ruth Bader Ginsburg just getting around to the idea of judges keeping their mouths shut on political issues.
We can chalk this up as something of a victory for Donald Trump in the sense that we didn't expect our Supreme Court justices to become outward open partisan hacks and just kind of acting as campaign surrogates. I have a piece on the editor's desk at National Review about this. But secondly, most of the time in these circumstances, we're used to people behaving outrageously and then kind of either doubling down or just waiting until the controversy goes away or something. I suppose, you know, Ginsburg deserves a little bit of credit for recognizing that she was doing damage to the court, doing damage to her own reputation, not behaving in a manner that America has come to expect its Supreme Court justices to do so. And it's good for her to apologize. Having said that, it's not like everyone says, oh, okay, well, she's going to be, you know, nice and you know, nonpartisan and non-ideological and, you know, she'll go back to weighing only the law in circumstances like this. I think the damage has been done. I joked earlier this morning that the hold music at Trump campaign is actually "One Republic's It's Too Late to Apologize." I'd like to see her hang her head in shame over this, the way she did at the State of the Union address a few years ago. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we all kind of know, is an ideologue. Hopefully this election doesn't come to a recount like in Florida and the Supreme Court doesn't have to weigh in on the validity of any particular election law. But I think it's safe to say that she should recuse herself from anything related to Donald Trump from here on out. And if he ends up becoming president, we all kind of expect her to resign or retire fairly quickly. If you come out and say, "Oh, this candidate, he's the worst," they have good reason to say, "I have no reason to think I'd ever get a fair hearing from this judge." And she just, you know, blurted this out on her own accord. So good for her for apologizing. Hopefully this will spur a bigger discussion of, you know, how arrogant and kind of open about a clear partisan bias that some judges have become in this country.
Just one note of correction, Jim. I'm not sure that was shame she was hanging her head in at the State of the Union address. If you notice the drool, it was probably closer to narcolepsy.
She apparently did say afterwards, quote, "I had a little too much wine that night," unquote. So, I mean, we've all been there, Madam Justice, but probably, you know.
Just not in the front row at the State of the Union.
Yeah. She's gone from being the ironically nicknamed notorious RBG to the genuinely notorious RBG.
Well, speaking of comments that can come back to bite some people, Newt Gingrich, of course, is on the shortlist for Donald Trump. News report after news report talks about how he's actively lobbying for the position. Can't you just imagine those conversations, Jim, as he grabs any member of the Trump family he can at Trump Tower or wherever Trump is on the campaign trail and tries to twist their arm. But anyway, Newt Gingrich has obviously been talking about this campaign a lot. And back in February, he spoke to a Republican group. The recording of the speech was made available to ProPublica by the Center for Media and Democracy, a Madison, Wisconsin group with the stated goal of exposing corporate influences on politics.
Yeah. Lefties. That's all listeners really do. They're a bunch of lefties. Fine, whatever. You know.
Exactly. So in this speech, while he did say that Donald Trump was a marketing genius, he also said that this is not a guy who's shallow or simple. He's a guy who knows an immense amount of marketing, which is why he talks at a fourth grade level. He talks at the lowest level of any candidate in either party, not because he's stupid. He does it because he knows if you talk at a fourth grade level, everybody can understand you. He also compared Trump to the Kardashians, saying, I mean, think about it, the whole tweeting, the whole continuous noise. And then the part that I know made you smile, Jim. National Review is right. Donald Trump is not a conservative, unquote. Instead, Gingrich characterized him as an American nationalist who uses a deliberately unpredictable mix of hostility against stupidity, liberals, and political correctness. So, Jim, I assume sets a record where somebody saying National Review is right makes it into our bad martini.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on your perspective of whether this qualifies as a good martini or a bad martini. It's obviously bad for Newt. I think this, you know, wherever he was in the ranking or likelihood of being Trump's running mate yesterday, it's a little bit lower today. We'll see how things shake out at 11 o'clock Friday morning during the, I believe it's the season finale of The Apprentice. I almost want to put this as the good martini, not out of sheer animosity to Newt Gingrich. You almost kind of feel bad about him to have this comment from 5 months ago. And nothing that seems all that untrue. It's just his kind of assessment of it. Just in some ways, it's a fairly unflattering assessment of Trump. But man, Greg, you want to talk about just exquisite timing. Somebody has been sitting on this for 5 months. I don't know if it was the Christie camp. I don't know if Mike Pence has this, you know, nefarious, vicious side we haven't seen from him. But somebody has been sitting and waiting and waiting. And then at the right moment, boom. And just you could just see the knife sliding in there. And so, to me, if you like dirty backroom politics, and I don't generally like them, but I almost, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. this is Steph Curry drilling a three from half court. This is just really well done. You have to appreciate the craftsmanship of this leak and how much damage it does at exactly the wrong time for Newt Gingrich. So it probably doesn't help him. It's a little bit mean, but you kind of admit just how well somebody has practiced the dark arts of strategic leaking in this vice presidential nomination fight. Whoever this is would win on The Apprentice.
You know what the odd part is here? I didn't catch a fundamentally or a frankly anywhere in those comments, so I think I need to check the actual audio to find out.
It's profound, I think.
Profoundly. Profoundly troubling for Newt Gingrich, that's for sure. On to the crazy martini now, and Hillary Clinton is concerned. She's concerned about what Donald Trump might do to people he disagrees with if he becomes president of the United States. She talks about how Donald Trump has talked about forcing the military to carry out unconstitutional orders to kill terrorist families and so forth. She says he's kicked people out of his media entourage for political reasons. And so therefore, she says Trump as president would be very, very troubling.
Imagine if he had not just Twitter and cable news to go after his critics and opponents, but also the IRS, or for that matter, our entire military. Given what we have seen and heard, do any of us think he'd be restrained?
Jim, just try to imagine, I know it's hard, a president unleashing the power of the IRS to make life miserable for their political opponents.
Man, what would that be like? Oh, just I can't imagine. Except that it happened for people. Oh my God! You know, this is a really infuriating bit of obliviousness. Now I know Huma Abedin said that Grandma gets confused easily, and so maybe she totally missed this. Maybe she was gallivanting around the world. But the IRS abuses were kind of big news, and those of us with long memories will look back and think, "Hey, wait a minute." There was the infamous FBI list in the early days of the Clinton administration where, you know, the whole bunch of the background checks on a whole bunch of previous Bush administration Republican officials accidentally ended up in the hands of the Clinton White House. And a lot of people saw that as, you know, highly inappropriate and perhaps some dirty work going on there. There are a couple of things that are kind of revealing about this. And yeah, you know, you could say, considering how tempestuous and impulsive and vindictive and petty we've seen Donald Trump be, yeah, do you want to trust this guy with the full powers of the government? But for her to make that line kind of indicates that either, like, literally she had no idea the IRS scandal had occurred and it completely escaped her attention, or in some sort of concussion-induced memory lapse, she just simply forgot about it. Or she does and doesn't care. Like, that kind is okay. That kind is reasonable. Of course you want the IRS giving everything short of a proctological exam to Tea Party groups. But you wouldn't want that on ordinary Americans or real Americans or good Americans. It doesn't speak well of her. And it kind of, you know, she clearly is one of those person who believes that the government abuses are okay as long as they're only in one direction, and that we need to have the right abusive figures in charge of our federal government apparatus. And so it takes a great deal of nerve, the fact that everyone in her speech writing team seemed to be okay with that. She didn't recognize that. As far as most Democrats are concerned, the IRS abuse scandal either didn't happen or it doesn't really matter.
I conclude where we started. Everybody sucks, 2016. The U.S.
Aren't you glad you came back, Greg? Welcome back.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.